You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
OBM, Ohio Business Machine's preferred copier provider of the Cleveland Browns, who know that every day is game day in your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit ohiobusinessmachines.com. We head now to the Ohio Business Machines hotline, and we're happy to be joined by Liz Matthews, Seahawks reporter for ESPN 710 in Seattle. Liz, thanks for taking the time today.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure.
Great. And as we review each and every offseason, then preview every opponent of the Cleveland Browns, it seems as if somehow Seattle, in most cases because of the contract extension of Russell Wilson, maintains the Seattle Seahawks in the news blotter.
Isn't that crazy? And those storylines, we all know how dead it is in the summer. Everyone's searching for stories, but this one just doesn't go away. And I would love to be able to give you an answer, but the longer this takes, the more questions I even have. I think most people around here were thinking this deal would get done at least by the start of training camp. But it's looking like, you know, when these guys hit that practice field next Friday, I don't know if they're going to show this for a bit. It's becoming a huge distraction, I believe.
Liz, is it safe to say that Russell Wilson is trying to become the highest paid player in NFL history?
Well, you know, all these guys are. All these guys up for the big deals. You know, Richard Sherman wanted to be the highest paid, and then Earl Thomas. And everybody's going to be the highest paid until the next guy gets his deal. And then you start to see people kind, you know, guys like Michael Bennett, defensive end for the Seahawks here, he's already kind of complaining about the deal he was touched last year. So I don't know. I think it's a very interesting storyline with Russell Wilson's agent he had two separate agents, one for his baseball career, one for football. He solidified, went with the baseball guy to cover his NFL stuff. I'm not sure whether or not that has anything to do with it, but for some reason these sides just are not coming to an agreement.
From your perspective, what would be Seattle's reluctance to give Russell Wilson a mega contract?
Well, I think it's so tough. You know, Seattle has spent so much money solidifying their defense. They gave Sherman his huge deal last year, Earl Thomas. You got linebacker Bobby Wagner coming up. They've really put all their money out on the table. And you know what? There's going to be casualties, unfortunately, with this salary cap. You got to see guys go. Cornerback Byron Maxwell, a great example. You just can't pay everybody. I know that there's a magic number out there somewhere, and these guys tweak these deals, as you know how these contracts go. But I really think the sooner it gets done, the better for both sides. But, you know, there's that tag option if it comes to that, and it looks like these guys are both ready to play.
Liz, one other key factor as, teams, the Cleveland Browns rookies have reported this week and most teams report next week. What's the status of Pro Bowl safety Earl Thomas's injury, and will he be ready for training camp and or the start of the season?
That's a great question. And now the Seahawks, they lost a couple of minicamp practices this year for excessive physicality last season, during the camp. So we really had only one day to speak with Carroll and kind of get a feel for all these injured guys. Carroll said really the only guy he thought who would not be ready for camp was cornerback Journeyman. He was just demolished in the Super Bowl, both with his arm and the ACL surgery. But Earl Thomas has been pretty frank. You know, he did not participate in any of the off-season workouts. He's really been rehabbing that shoulder. But he's being honest. You know, he doesn't know whether or not he'll be able to report for training camp. And even said recently that the first week of the regular season is a question mark as well.
With that limited viewing, what were you able to see with the addition of Jimmy Graham? And what this has not been an offense known to really highlight a certain receiver or things like that. What do you see happening now with him being in Seattle?
Well, it was so funny, to be honest with you, with these guys and no pads and no helmets. It looked like a bunch of drills for 2.5 hours. But what we did see is we did find Russell Wilson connecting with Jimmy Graham. It was interesting. You know, the Seahawks are still focused on the run game. Marshawn Lynch did not participate in the practices. Christian Michael didn't participate with the hamstring. Robert Turbin was rehabbing his hip. So you had one guy coming, you had one running back on the field. So I think they had to make some adjustments there as far as what they were doing. But wow, Russell Wilson, he just got himself a huge new weapon. Granted, at the sacrifice of losing the Pro Bowl center in Max Unger, that's going to be a tough position to fill. But boy, I think all eyes are going to be on Jimmy Graham come training camp and when these paths go on.
We're talking to Liz Matthews, Seahawks reporter for ESPN 710 in Seattle. Liz, I want to ask you about the makeup of the NFC West. Last year, you had the Seattle, of course, representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. You had the Arizona Cardinals at a 10-win season. San Francisco wasn't quite itself, and they've probably changed the most from one season to the next. What's your shake on the entire NFC West and what you look forward to? I think Seattle will still be the cream of the crop, but what's going on with everybody else, and how does it look like it'll shake out?
Well, what a difference one season can make. What has gone on in San Francisco is just unbelievable. And for these last couple of seasons, the San Francisco 49ers have really been the Seahawks' rival. I mean, there has just been absolute craziness. It was so fun, I think, for the fans and everybody up here with Harbaugh and just all these games and taking down to NFC Championship game. And, you know, look, I really don't see San Francisco as any type of contender really this season. Obviously, they basically have to rebuild from the ground up. The Rams, man, you got to love them. They've been so fun to watch what they're able to do there. They've got a great coaching staff, an incredible defensive line. They made some funky changes this season. I really have my eye on the Rams as the other team in the NFC West to watch this season.
What is a big question mark, you would say, the biggest one with this team that would prevent the Seahawks from getting back to the Super Bowl?
Boy, that's a great one. I think some of these injuries, like you brought up Earl Thomas, let's see how healthy he is. Who's going to fill Byron Maxwell's position on the other side of Sherm? I think that's a big question mark. And to be honest, whether or not these guys can get their heads screwed back on straight if Russell Wilson isn't to get a deal done. These guys are professionals. They're used to this. They understand the business side of sports. But this has been a locker room, and you've kind of heard the reports and read the stories throughout the last couple of years where there's been some real locker room issues. And if these guys can just stay focused, healthy, and on the field, I think that's the biggest key for them getting back to the, wow, third Super Bowl in a row.
Before I let you go, my last question for you is, was there any, as you just mentioned, there's been personality issues in the locker room and getting everybody on the same playing field moving forward to get back to another Super Bowl. Was there any negativity, dark cloud, or anything looming from the way in which the Super Bowl kind of panned out with, the coach's decision at the end, the interception, and the way as if it was snatched away from them there at the end of the game?
And that's a fabulous question. I think for the first couple of weeks, you listen to the guys before everybody breaks. You kind of hear the stories, and you really wonder, how are these guys going to be able to get it together and come back? And that is something they have really been able to do. There were really no rumblings or anybody even discussing it after any of the OTA practices or a short mini camp. These guys seem to be right on track. They're really focusing ahead, and I think the easiest thing for them to have done and the best thing is just put them behind it and play ball this year.
Absolutely, Liz. Thank you so much for taking the time and being with us, and we'll look forward to our trip up to Seattle later in the year.
Absolutely. We'll be seeing you guys shortly.
Absolutely. That was Liz Matthews, Seahawks reporter for ESPN 710 in Seattle. And a lot like the Steelers, they're a team that's now, in the last decade, probably always good, doesn't essentially have that dip like other franchises have, but just reload with talent. And it's going to be another great year, as I said, looking down on everybody else in the NFC West.
I thought she made an interesting point, too, about kind of maybe the one issue that might hold this team back is kind of a chemistry thing.
Yeah.
A lot of big egos. Big personalities in that room. And I think that's why Pete Carroll has been as successful as he is, because he is the mastermind of managing these kind of big personalities in a locker room.
And I believe that this team, the Seattle Seahawks, And if Coach Carroll's not preaching this or the general manager's not thinking this, they have a problem that they, too, have a window to win as many championships as possible, keeping this team together, keeping that defense together. As we've seen, that corner opposite Richard Sherman continues to leave. Bruce Irvin came back this year with his fifth-year option, but he's a guy that might, I believe, might want to go down, to Atlanta if he can go. But with success, as the Cleveland Browns, as I've said before, everybody gets paid when you're winning and you're successful. And everybody there in Seattle wants it. Russell Wilson wants to be the highest paid. Michael Bennett wants that new deal. Richard Sherman wants to be the highest. Earl Thomas, Bobby Wagner, all these guys want to get paid. They can't all make the money they want to make and all be within that salary cap. So it's going to be, sometimes very difficult for them to keep that nucleus together and pay everybody and keep them happy.
I will say this, just like for my reasoning with Eli Manning on why the Giants will sign him and why that you have to sign him, I don't see any way that the Seahawks don't sign Wilson.
Oh, I
think he's coming back. I know this is kind of dragged out to the point where people are now thinking that there's a chance he could leave. You don't let a guy like
that. Do you believe the leverage that Seattle may be using in not signing him to the type of money that Russell Wilson might be asking is because he may not be capable of mimicking his performance level outside of Seattle as a franchise?
I don't know, because
if you put him here,
it's not as if he's surrounded by great wide receivers or anything like that on that offense. It's a great running offense with the best running back in the NFL.
And a great offensive scheme for him.
Right. I don't know. I think a lot of teams with question marks at quarterback would jump on signing Russell Wilson if he hit the open market.
Okay.
I think he would get top five money if he was just simply a free agent. Like, we always joke about what would happen if Andrew Luck became a free agent. Huh. Like, it would just be like the contract numbers would be ridiculous.
Do you think if Andrew Luck were to become available, could, you know, with the salary cap large enough, could sign a $150 million deal?
I think so. Without question, just because he would be on the open market and be able to, like, get teams bidding against each other for him. I mean, again, this is never going to happen.
Right.
Like, he's going to be a Colt for life. Like, they're never going to let him walk. But no, I mean, it would just be what happened with Ndamukong Suh, but then you factor in it's a quarterback and it would be that much crazier. And Andrew Luck has less question marks and baggage than Ndamukong Suh.
He definitely does. And to continue to play on this scenario that will never happen, as we sit right now with the quarterbacks of the franchises of all 32 teams, if Andrew Luck were to be available, how many of those 32 teams, okay, so 31 in this case, well, I'll say 32 because he is a free agent, would be in the market for Andrew Luck?
Like, realistically in the market?
Yes.
Or thinking about it?
Both. Do both.
I would think realistically in the market, there'd be like 12.
Okay.
Thinking about it, like 25. Yeah, so I say like 25, 26. Like, I mean, it would only be like a team like the Packers would not entertain it.
It would essentially be every team outside of Tier 1 and Mike Sando's and at the NFL Insiders Tier 1, which was Steelers, no?
I don't know.
Packers, no?
Packers, no.
Patriots?
Man, these guys are near the end of their career.
That's what I mean.
Roethlisberger's near the end of his career, too, and it's like...
But can you pay someone $150 million to be that guy?
Where they would, I think they internally, they would think if they could make it happen, and that's why realistically they couldn't.
Right.
So that's why I think they'd at least, like, think about it.
Right, sure.
So
something
maybe
it'd
be
about.
Higher than 25 that would think about it.
I think so.
Because, like, who else is just, like, because Andrew Luck is already, what, like a number three quarterback in the NFL right now?
Yes, third.
Third?
Tied for one, and he is third.
Yeah, so, yeah. Green Bay. And even then, like, how many years has Aaron Rodgers played?
Five more. He's probably got five more. Four more in his prime. He's like LeBron. Four more in his prime, and then, you know, four more sub-prime years beyond that.
So I think almost everyone would have to think about it, but only, like, 10 could financially make that happen.
You got it. We're going to take our last time out for today. Thanks to Liz Matthews again, Seattle Seahawks, a formidable opponent representing the NFC last year in the Super Bowl, losing late to the would-be New England Patriots. Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs, Andrew Gribble here with you. One final segment to go on this Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.